be calling you down. I do my best and I do good business. There's a lot of people asking for my time. They're trying to get ahead. They're trying to be a good friend of mine. I was a free man in Paris. I felt unfettered and alive. There was nobody calling me up for favors and no one's future to decide. You know I go back there tomorrow, but for the work I've taken on, stoking the star maker machinery behind the popular song.
Contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, here we go. We're up and running, the start of a new week. I know, for you it's Tuesday, but for me it's kind of Monday, and especially yesterday there was no music show because I had a doctor's appointment that I had to go to, so sorry about that. That's the one good thing about, you know, working for myself. If I need to take a day off, I just go. Sorry if I kept you, you know, holding on yesterday. Hopefully you saw the message. I'll always leave a message in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com on the Listen Live page. That's the place to come. Also, if you want to join into the chat, we've got an amazing chat room. Actually, we have got two amazing chat rooms that go on during the show. The one at NicoleSandler.com and the other one on the YouTube page. Hi, YouTubers. And it was also, we got two chat rooms, and it was two topics for today's pre-show music. We finished up with a salute to France. Je m'appelle Nicole. I know a little bit of French. I went to elementary school in New York, and kids who were gifted were put in a group. They were so politically incorrect back then. IGC was the name of the classes I was put in. The IGC stood for Intellectually Gifted Children. And we got French. So I have a whole conversation. It's all I can say in French, but I know. Comment vous appelez-vous? Je m'appelle Nicole. Comment allez-vous? J'ai mal à la tête. J'ai mal à la gauche. J'ai mal à l'estomac. I know how to say I have a headache, a sore throat, and a stomach ache. And my name is Nicole. A lot of good it does me. Really, it comes in handy. Anyway, we salute the French people for having more sense than the Americans and electing the sane one out of the two who were left standing after the they don't really have primaries there, but after their initial election day, they had something like 40 candidates or something in the first round. And they were left with two standing, Macron, who is the new president of France, who, by the way, will be sworn in on Sunday if he wasn't sworn in yesterday. I mean, it happens fast over there. It's none of that, you know, waiting a few months things. No, you win, you take over. It goes like that. So the socialist president is out. Macron is in, and Marine Le Pen, I don't know, can go crawl back in her hole somewhere with the rest of the neo-Nazis. So we played a bunch of French songs, not really French songs, but saluting France songs, finishing up with a couple from Joni Mitchell because she's so awesome and must love France. We did a Free Man in Paris and in France, the Kiss on Main Street. I already closed out my music list, so I don't even know what I played here. And we started with a few Sally songs because Sally Yates is my new hero. Although I got to tell you, I don't get it. I'm on Twitter and all these people are going, Sally Yates for president 2020. Now, look, she's pretty awesome. She was the acting attorney general. She was an assistant attorney general, I guess, under what's her name? Boy, how quickly I forget. It was Eric Holder and then, oh, come on. Someone in the chat room tell me. You know, the one who met on the plane with Bill Clinton, whose name is totally escaping me right now. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about. But Sally Yates is the perfect person to be in this position right now, because at her confirmation hearing, apparently there was a Republican and a Democrat, Loretta Lynch, thank you, August West, in the Nicole Sandler chat room. Sally Yates, at her confirmation hearing to be an assistant attorney general, she was feted by senators on both sides of the aisle. There's no record of her giving a political contribution to any candidate. So apparently spicy in today's White House lying briefing was, press lying session. Isn't that what it's called now? He was saying, well, she's a partisan Democrat. Really? No, she isn't. She may have been appointed by a Democrat, but there's nothing in her record that suggests such a thing. Just because this White House is so partisan. You know, I was thinking about that earlier today, how everything Trump does and says is through a partisan lens, even down to none of the televisions in federal buildings is allowed to be on any station other than Fox. Can you imagine? Oh, she was appointed by Bush, too. Thank you, Laffy. Laffy's in the chat room. Yeah. So, you know, so Sally Yates is awesome, but it doesn't mean she's qualified to be president, although she probably is more qualified than many of the people who ran on the Republican side. Clapper was good in the in the hearing before Ectopia said that I like Clapper. He didn't mince words as much. You know, that when they're testifying like that, there are certain things they can and can't say because of the confidentiality, because of some things are classified. And if they're classified, you can't say it in a public hearing. She was hired by Bob Barr and later promoted by President George W. Bush. Ah, thank you. See, shows what I know. So all this nonsense about her being a partisan Democrat is just that. It's nonsense. Now, while that hearing was going on yesterday, in case you didn't know, there was a court case going on. It was the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. And it's so funny because and you'll get a lot of this in today's What's News that I'm going to play in just a couple of minutes. You know what? Maybe I should just do that. I should play What's News, and we should get Laffy on to go through this stuff. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'll play this first because I didn't have time to fit it into What's News. August West just put in the chat room, Sally Yates was amazing when questioned by Ted Cruz, as I'm sure anyone who saw it knows. Ted Cruz tried to trip her up a few times, and she was calm. She was cool. She didn't get frazzled. She didn't get upset. She just had her facts there. And this, I'm telling you, was one of my favorite exchanges from yesterday's hearing. And I heard a good part of it because I was in the car and I got to listen on the radio. Ted Cruz always thinks, as they said on Morning Jerk today, always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. Well, Ted, you're not that smart. Sally ran rings around you. This is the exchange that I couldn't fit into What's News today.
Is it correct that the Constitution vests the executive authority in the president?
Yes.
And if an attorney general disagrees with a policy decision of the president, mm-hmm. a policy decision that is lawful, does the attorney general have the authority to direct the Department of Justice to defy the president's order?
I don't know whether the attorney general has the authority to do that or not, but I don't think it would be a good idea. And that's not what I did in this case.
Well, are you familiar with 8 U.S.C. Section 1182?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Well, it is the binding statutory authority for the executive order that you refused to implement and that led to your termination. So it certainly is a relevant and not a terribly obscure statute.
Mm-hmm.
By the express text of the statute, it says, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any alien or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he shall deem necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem appropriate. Would you agree that that is broad statutory authorization?
I would, and I am familiar with that. And I'm also familiar with an additional provision of the INA that says no person shall receive preference or be discriminated against in issuance of a visa
Boom.
Because of race, nationality, or place of birth.
You go,
that, I believe,
Sally.
Was promulgated after the statute that you just quoted. And that's been part of the discussion with the courts with respect to the INA, is whether this more specific statute trumps the first one that you just described. Concern was not an INA concern here. It rather was a constitutional concern.
Boom!
Whether or not the executive order here violated the Constitution, specifically with the Establishment Clause and equal protection and due process.
Yeah, you, Randy Lover in the chats. I just couldn't believe the damn politics during a very serious hearing. The Republicans just kept trying to stray off the subject. And to be clear, the subject matter of this hearing was the Russian interference in the 2016 election. Every Republican, their questions always veer to who leaked. And, about Sally Yates refusing to defend Dump's Muslim ban. Those are their two questioning lines. The Democrats, when they asked questions, were all about, you know, the Russian interference in the 2016 election, but not the Republicans. Although after the hearing ended, Lindsey Graham, who's the chair of the subcommittee, said he's concerned about the Russian interference in the elections. I'm telling you, you just can't make this shit up. Anyway, here's what we'll do. We'll listen to What's News and come back on the other side with Gotta Laugh, because there's so much in it. So don't tune out. This isn't a commercial. This is part of the show. I work really hard on it every day. It's a segment I call What's News.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Monday was a big day on Capitol Hill as Sally Yates, the former acting attorney general, gave her long-awaited testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Sally Yates explained how she told the White House they had a problem with then-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn.
I had two in-person meetings and one phone call call with the White House counsel about Mr. Flynn. On January 26th, I called Don McGahn first thing that morning and told him that I had a very sensitive matter that I needed to discuss with him, that I couldn't talk about it on the phone, and that I needed to come see him. So I told them again that there were a number of press accounts of statements that had been made by the vice president and other high-ranking White House officials about General Flynn's conduct that we knew to be untrue. The first thing we did was to explain to Mr. McGahn that the underlying conduct that General Flynn had engaged in was problematic in and of itself. We told him we felt like the vice president and others were entitled to know that the information that they were conveying to the American people wasn't true. We were concerned that the American people had been misled about the underlying conduct and what General Flynn had done. And we weren't the only ones that knew all of this. The Russians also knew about what General Flynn had done. And the Russians also knew that General Flynn had misled the vice president and others. Not only did we believe that the Russians knew this, but that they likely had proof of this information. And that created a compromise situation, a situation where the national security advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
Sally Yates wasn't alone at the witness table. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper was also in the hot seat, and he concurred that we have a problem.
Russia's influence activities in the run-up to the 2016 election constituted the high water mark of their long-running efforts since the 1960s to disrupt and influence our elections. They must be congratulating themselves for having exceeded their wildest expectations with a minimal expenditure of resource. And I believe they are now emboldened to continue such activities in the future, both here and around the world, and to do so even more intensely. If there has ever been a clarion call for vigilance and action against a threat to the very foundation of our democratic political system, this episode is it. I hope the American people recognize the severity of this threat and that we collectively counter it before it further erodes the fabric of our democracy.
Yates explained why she went to the White House Office of Legal Counsel with this information.
Finally, we told them that we were giving them all of this information so that they could take action, the action that they deemed appropriate.
CNN's legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin explains what happened next.
What happens after she says it twice in two meetings? What happens is nothing, absolutely nothing, until the Washington Post reports that Flynn has been compromised, and only then is Michael Flynn fired. If it weren't for the leaks, which the Republicans keep trying to change the subject, trying to make this hearing about leaks, if it weren't for the leaks, Michael Flynn would probably still be National Security Advisor today. And that's what I think is extremely chilling, not the fact that some decent Americans and some great journalists at the Washington Post did their job.
So the action the White House took was to fire Yates, while Flynn stayed on for another 18 days until the Washington Post published a story about the issue.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Republicans on the committee seemed uninterested in the fact that we likely had a traitor at the highest levels of the administration. They were consumed with getting Sally Yates. Earlier in the day, the president tweeted, "Ask Sally Yates, under oath, if she knows how classified information got into the newspaper soon after she explained it to the White House counsel." So Chuck Grassley did his bidding.
Have either of you ever been an anonymous source in a news report about matters relating to Mr. Trump, his associates, or Russians' attempt to meddle in the election?
No.
Absolutely not.
Trump tweeted a firestorm ahead of the hearing amidst reports that he had also called a few senators in an attempt to get the hearing canceled, smacking of witness intimidation. But the Republicans on the committee continued to stray from the subject of the hearing. John Cornyn was still angry that Yates refused to defend the travel ban.
I find it enormously disappointing that you somehow vetoed the decision of the Office of Legal Counsel with regard to the lawfulness of the president's order and decided instead that you would countermand the executive order of the president of the United States because you happen to disagree with it as a policy matter.
I looked at this. I made a determination that I believed that it was unlawful. I also thought that it was inconsistent with the principles of the Department of Justice, and I said no.
While all that was going on, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals was hearing arguments on that very same travel ban the White House is still trying to enact. At issue are the statements candidate Trump made often, describing it as a Muslim ban.
Has the president ever repudiated the campaign statements that he made on a Muslim ban?
Judge King, he has. And again, as I say, some of the briefs walk through this. He said, look, over time, I've made clear.
Well, he changed it from religion to nationality. He explained that he wasn't going to call it religion anymore. He was going to call it nationality, and Mayor Giuliani advised him to do it that way. And it's still on his website today.
And then they took it down.
Just another tricky day for you.
If you appreciate our What's News segments and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. Our work is 100% listener-funded. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. You'll get all the regular shows and have access to the new Monday Music Show podcast and The Vault at NicoleSandler.com, plus bonus content. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Hey, a quick note before we bring Laffy on. We've switched over to the new host for the podcast. And if you've donated to the show in the past year, you are in. So you'll get the bonus content. We need to figure out how to make it all work, though. So working on it. Somebody said TuneIn is gone. I don't know why. That should still be there. Anyway, give us a couple of days. Hopefully, we'll be sending out an email once we figure out how to get it working. But if you do sign up for a new monthly subscription, it goes to the new system. We don't use PayPal for the new system, so there's that. That's good. And what else? Give it a shot. Any donation, $5 a month or more, gets you all the bonus content. The Monday music shows are up, and I'll be loading more stuff in there as we go along. Okay? All right. It's already shaping up to be one of those days. Let's do it, shall we?
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Laffy on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. I know Laffy's having problems hearing, so let's give it a shot. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Trump has a belly aches hotline.
Trump has a what hotline?
Belly aches.
Belly aches?
Belly Yates. Belly ache.
Belly Yates. Okay.
It was a pun.
I got it. I'm a little slow today. Okay.
It's really better. You know, what are you going to do? Press one. If you think to Trump, heads up. Isn't about Yates warning him about Michael Flynn. Heads up means stop tweeting. Your hairstylist is here.
Oh, God. His hairstylist, that person, whoever it is, gets paid too much money. I'll just say it right now. Too much money. If anybody thinks that looks good, it's not only the style, it's the color. Nobody's hair is that yellow, especially when you're 70 years old.
Oh, my God. Okay, press two if you think to Trump. A special commission is about the money he and Jared are getting from all those Chinese investors.
God damn. Two, 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 two.
Press three if you think to Trump. Blackmail is about who's to blame for all that American carnage in the streets.
Oh. Yes, that's about what he thinks, if he thinks at all.
Have a nice day. Oh, my God. These last 2 days have been exhausting.
Yeah.
Just exhausting to try to just keep up with everything.
You can't possibly keep up with everything. That's what's so hard. When I sit down, I wake up. If I'm not already awake, Jackson, my little dog, he gets me up by 6:30 because he wants to go out. So I'm up. I watch the news for a little while. And then I walk in my studio to try to figure out what I'm going to put on What's News. And the problem is there's so much. So,
yes.
I write it and I get all the sound clips together and I'm writing away. And I realize halfway through it, I've already hit 6 minutes. Like, shit.
You could do an hour long one.
I could do the whole show like that, although it would take me forever to get it done because it's a lot of quick cuts. But, there's so much going on. And I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I have a hard time keeping up with it all.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I'm like, I used to be called the brain in school. You know, like I was one of the brain people. And I can't follow half this stuff. It is so convoluted. And just when you think you've got a handle on it, they do a new twist or a new lie, and you've got to rethink the entire narrative.
So you watched the White House press lying session today, right?
Yeah, the press lying briefing. Yeah,
press lying briefing.
I tried. I end up doing is I'm trying to live tweet it at the same time because my followers really depend on me to do that sometimes.
Yes.
And I then lose track of what's being said live because I'm typing, right?
Right.
To find a good retweet that recaps everything in one tweet. So I did watch it, yeah, but I probably missed a bunch. But basically, it was a blame Obama session. It was blaming Sally Yates for being a Hillary supporter, which, by the way, there's no proof of.
Right. There's no proof whatsoever. There's not a donation. There's nothing that says she's a Hillary Clinton supporter. So, you know, she could have been a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Absolutely. She could have been anything. Or maybe she doesn't vote. Who knows? But I kept a series of tweets to kind of it's short. It's but they're also saying that one of the first things he said was all she did was a heads up. He kept saying heads up, heads up.
Yeah. And that was debunked in the hearing yesterday.
I'm sorry?
That was debunked in the hearing yesterday. She spoke to the White House Office of Legal Counsel 3 times. Now, one thing that we learned, I guess, just I learned from reading Twitter during the briefing, during the lying session. I can't watch. I yell at the television. is that apparently, and I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name, the White House counsel, who, by the way, in his tweet, Trump wrote C-O-U-N-C-I-L.
Yes.
And
yes.
They had to go in and delete it and correct the spelling to S-E-L. Oh, my God.
So
the man
stupid.
Is a fucking moron. Oh!
Oh, my God. I half my tweets end in gah!
Yeah.
Because I'm screaming
arg.
On my tweets now.
Arg! Anyway.
Arg!
Right. That after the first meeting, the White House counsel wasn't sure what she was talking about.
Yeah. Oh, please. Just, you know, his tweets are completely meaningless. And now he has pasted a tweet onto his banner on his homepage on Twitter. So you see, you know, a shot, some kind of a promo shot of him with a bunch of people smiling and thumbs up and all that. And over that, he overlaid a tweet about this whole Sally Yates, you know, business. And it's insane. He's insane. He's a nut. Then they went on to say that they weren't going to relitigate the past on this whole Flynn thing, and that Flynn was just a good guy. He was a good man. He said that on Yates, a political opponent of the president, on Flynn, the president doesn't want to smear a good man.
But he'll smear a good woman in Sally Yates. And you know, if we want to put one against the other, Michael Flynn, let's see. Failed to disclose foreign contact when he was working at the highest levels of the U.S. government, or, acting attorney general who was upholding the Constitution. One of these things is not like the other.
I did a screen grab that MSNBC put up. Flynn's schedule post Sally Yates warning. In other words, they knew that he was involved with Russia. January 28th, he listens in on the Putin-Trump call. January 29th, he's in the room as Trump calls the king of Saudi Arabia. February 1st, he's at the White House briefing. We're officially putting Iran on notice. February 13th, he attends a joint press conference with Trump and Trudeau. So this is what he was doing after
they knew.
They found out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then, Sean Spicer, this is from John Hudson. Spicer says he's not aware of any restrictions put on Michael Flynn by the White House after Trump knew Flynn was compromised. So that list shows that there were no restrictions.
None.
Right. And he's on those calls, et cetera.
And meanwhile, we learned also over the weekend, it wasn't only Sally Yates that warned them. Actually, it goes back further to November 10th, 2 days after the election, when Trump visited Obama in the Oval Office, and Obama told him then and there, Michael Flynn is not to be trusted. Not a good guy.
And they passed that off as it's a partisan thing, and he was just kidding.
Right. Right. Unbelievable.
He was just kidding.
Right.
Have you ever known to Obama to kid him?
Uh-oh, I think I lost Laffy. Hello?
That was just stupidly ridiculous to say he was just... Are you there?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, no, I was just saying it was so ridiculous for them to ever think Obama would kid like that when he has no history of joking about anything serious.
Right, and something like that you don't joke about. The thing about Trump, you know, the other thing I was thinking, whatever you think about Obama, love him or hate him, I don't care, at least... He approached the office in a nonpartisan way. He didn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't. He always kept politics out of it. The reason he didn't announce, he didn't want the FBI to disclose the investigation into Trump, was because he wanted to be above politics, and he thought Hillary Clinton was going to win.
Exactly. And so he was bending over so backwards to avoid being partisan that he kind of wrecked her chances.
Yeah.
You know, he contributed unwittingly to what was going on. The other thing that really drives me nuts before I get back to what happened at the briefing was when people say, well, Pence was lied to, so how would he know? You know, well, no, he knew because he got letters telling him that Flynn was a lobbyist and that he was getting money from other countries that he shouldn't be getting money from,
right,
and that he didn't declare it. So he knew, and he lied about that on the air. They have tape of him lying about that. And so he's not Mr. Innocent. He wasn't the poor little Pence who was lied to. He was quite aware of what was going on, maybe not everything that was going on, but enough where he should have had his ears open, you know, and his eyes open. So no.
Interesting question. Interesting question in the NicoleSandler.com chat from Before Ectopia 2. Do you think Pence could be the leaker so he could become president? Frankly, I don't think Pence is smart enough. I don't know
if he's devious enough to be honest.
I think he lies. Oh, I think he's devious. I think he's very devious. I just don't think
he's
smart.
I'm thinking Trump devious. You know, like Trump does things for the most nefarious, horrible, I mean, just lies out. Well, I guess, you know what? Pence lied outright, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's devious. Okay.
Yeah,
I take
Trump,
that back.
Pence is a bad guy, but I just don't
horrible.
Think he's that smart.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Spicer blithely laughed off Sally Yates, saying she's someone who is not exactly a supporter of the president's agenda, to which I thought, oh, so in order to... You know, you only believe people who support you. So if somebody who is not a supporter comes at you and says, by the way, they just blew up New York City, you won't believe it until your own people tell you.
Right. Because everything for them is partisan. Everything is
everything.
Political. There is no post-political. He doesn't want to bring the nation together. He just wants to divide us further. And this is going to be a really long, fucking long 4 years. He, you know, today marks 6 months since Election Day. It seems like a lifetime. It seems a hell of a
really
lot longer
does.
Than 6 months.
I think I've aged.
Right. And he hasn't been in office 6 months. It was just he was elected 6 months ago today. Six months ago today was Election Day.
Six months ago today was when we both burst out crying. And
oh,
hit
my
our
God. And I've been crying since.
Oh, me too. I mean, I've been having like nightmares. And anyway, this was interesting. Kathleen Decker of the LA Times said, Spicer said that Trump has charged a Washington, D.C. law firm with sending a certified letter saying he had no business with Russia. Well, first of all, that doesn't mean anything. And second of all, if it's anything like his own doctor's letter.
Oh, I saw that. I saw your tweet. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean,
funny.
A letter that's going to claim, hey, he's not doing anything wrong. Oh, okay. Okay, that's all we needed. Thanks.
Yeah. By the way, we should mention, I know we're having a light moment here, but there is some breaking news. In Washington State, you know about this. The U.S. Energy Department says the tunnel at the Hanford site, this is a nuclear waste site, the tunnel at the site, which is used to bury radioactive plutonium production waste, has been breached.
I'm looking at the article right now.
They're telling everyone, get out. Get away. And, you know, if you're already a little nervous about this, the tunnel collapsed and they're saying it has been breached. So
and guess who's in charge?
Yeah. Rick Perry is the guy in charge. As energy secretary, he's in charge of all nukes, whether they be weapons or power plants. He is the nuke guy. Mr. Dancing with the Stars, nut job who wears glasses because he thinks they make him look smarter.
Mr. Oops.
Oops. And the oops was the Department of Energy that he wanted, couldn't even remember that that's the third department he wanted to eliminate because he didn't even know what it was. This is how stupid this man is. And he's the guy in charge. Don't you feel better?
Oh, I just feel wonderful now. It says hundreds of workers at the site have been ordered to take cover.
Mm-hmm.
It activated emergency operations protocol after a cave-in. At the 200 East area in Hanford, a sprawling complex about 200 miles from Seattle, where the government has been working to clean up radioactive materials left over from the country's nuclear weapons program. This is from the Washington Post, just so you know. They're responding to reports of a cave-in of a 20-foot section of tunnel that is hundreds of feet long that is used to store, like you said, contaminated materials, on and on. And as my friends from Portland up there in Twitterville told me, well, so much for eating fish and seafood from the West Coast.
Oh, God.
Which is half my diet.
Right. Oh,
you know, I give up here. Anyway, ugh, that's horrible.
By the way, when we on another note, when we got into the chat room, somebody had posted that CNN or MSNBC were reporting that the Republican Senate has added a woman to their group of 13 that are crafting the Senate's health care repeal bill.
Mitch McConnell said that's not true.
Mitch McConnell says that, no, they have not. Of course not.
He said they're consulting some women, but they're not in the group.
Right. No, because 13 white men, 13 old white men. They're not all so old, but 13 white men.
Well, they seem old, though. They think old.
That they do. Kamala Harris tweeted that and said this really shouldn't be that difficult. You think?
Meanwhile, back to this horrible press lying session.
Yes.
Spicer said this on how come Flynn was allowed to be part of a Putin phone call while he was under investigation, and his answer, I really don't recall the schedule from that day.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Oh my
I can't
God.
Remember. What? Somebody who shouldn't be on a call, who's putting our country in danger, who the president is covering for, is on a call. I don't know. Ask someone else who knows, you know. Then they asked him if the president will communicate with the public about potential changes in the Afghanistan strategy.
Oh, God. Yes, let's talk about that,
says,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know. Maybe he's not going to tell you.
And we lost Laffy again. He's not going to tell us. The news story from over the weekend was that he's decided to ratchet up the troop numbers in Afghanistan to go after the Taliban and ISIS, but no mention of Al-Qaeda, who still, or it was the other way around, the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, with no mention of ISIS, who is apparently, like, you know, reconstituting in Afghanistan. I mean, everything he's doing is wrong.
And he won't tell us his plans, even though they say he's going to send over 5,000 more troops, even though he was, remember that Hillary was going to be the hawk?
Yes, Hillary was going to get us into World War III, right?
Yeah, and here we've got this guy who's ratcheting up things with every country and then some that we don't even know about yet. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is just one disaster after another. And that was released right as the press briefing was taking place. So it's sort of like, look over there. We're doing Afghanistan. And everyone's starting to put that in the headline. I noticed on the news headlines everywhere, it bumped the Russia story. So that
of course
by the
it
time
did.
He could, I'm sorry.
I said, of course it did.
Yeah. So by the time Spicer could get up there and defend the Russia story, they could talk about something else. Look, a squirrel. You know.
Yeah.
So
of course.
That's how it is. So yes. I'm sure they'll pull some more tricks on us. I'm sure that Afghanistan isn't the only thing that. Meanwhile, as the South Korean, the new leader of South Korea, is quote liberal, which doesn't mean the
yes.
same thing as it does here.
But it does in terms of it is a more liberal person than the conservative who came in second.
Yeah, right. It's just not how, you know, we think of like, you know, it's right. not Bernie-crats.
Right.
But they want to soften their tone toward North Korea is sort of what
oh,
they're
really?
Saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They want to make it a more peaceful.
Well, they don't want to be bombed. So there's that. And we lost Laffy again. We have a weird thing going on where you keep cutting out, but you're back again now. I've got some other news. And Ooh. You've heard this. This was all over this weekend. You know, the House is on recess again. Wasn't it only, it was like 2 weeks ago they were off for Easter. Now they're on recess again. And there are all these town hall meetings going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Hanford is dumping into the aquifer that waters Columbia Valley, the Napa Valley of Washington. Oh, my God. That's where all the good wine comes from. Okay, David just handed me a note. Hanford, the place where the nuclear the waste accident happened, is dumping into the aquifer that waters Columbia Valley. Columbia Valley is the Napa Valley of Washington State, where such great wines come from. All the Washington State wines are going to be, you know, they're going to glow.
And so the economy will be affected immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah, because you're going to see those shut down. Oh, my God.
No more wine from Washington State.
But don't worry, Nicole. Rick Perry is going to take care of it.
He'll dance right through it. Ooh, baby.
Yes. Get his
I keep seeing,
on and,
you know, he'll with his Moroccan, what are the things called?
Castanets.
Castanets, yes. I can just see him doing the castanet dance. Oh, my God.
Yes, and California wine will probably have, I mean,
well, California
is
wine
there.
Is already having problems because first the drought, then the massive rains, climate change is wreaking havoc on you know, wine grapes. Boy, wine collectors are going to, I guess they're going to make
out. Yeah, well, here where I live in SoCal, it was 85 degrees for like a week. So we're thinking summer. Yep. And I said, you know, let's put out our summer stuff outside. And the next day, thunderstorms are coming for the next 3 days.
Oh, my
God.
And it doesn't rain in California in the summer. Where I live, this is rainy season. Although we had a couple of days of rain and it stopped. In Florida, summertime is rainy season. It doesn't rain in the winter. In California, it's the exact opposite. But let me tell you this. It's already the middle of May. Today's May 9th. The last few mornings, it has been in the 60s, which you got to understand. It's always so hot here. This time of year, it doesn't dip below. Maybe 75 to 79 if we're lucky. It has been in the low 60s overnight for the last few days.
Wow,
it's weird. It's just weird stuff going on in the weather. And
it's
so
creepy weird.
Well,
here's a news item for you.
Yeah.
From ProPublica.
Yes.
You've probably seen this too. Comey's testimony on Huma Abedin about forwarding emails. It was inaccurate.
Yeah. Gee, go figure. What did he say? Like hundreds of thousands of emails.
Yes, the FBI hasn't decided how to correct the director's false claim that she forwarded thousands of Clinton emails to the laptop computer of her husband, Anthony Weiner. He generated national headlines last week with his dramatic testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee saying it was his incredibly painful decision to go public about Clinton.
It made him slightly nauseous.
Yes, it's mildly nauseous.
Mildly
I got
nauseous.
Very nauseous.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I puked my brains out.
Yes. So now he's got to figure out, why did he misstate this? What the heck? You know, he is causing so many problems every time he opens his mouth.
Yes. This is the guy who, you know, he did the one right thing when Ashcroft was in the hospital.
Yes.
And he rode that to become director of the FBI. And now, boy, you know, Trump has such problems with someone being a partisan. Excuse me, look at Comey. Although that's what he wants, is someone who actively wanted Trump in the White House. I want to go back to this other story. Raul Labrador, we all saw. So the town hall meetings are going on. And so Raul Labrador in Idaho has a town hall meeting, and this happened.
Oh, yes.
You are mandating people on Medicaid except dying. You are making a
No one wants anybody to die. You know, that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies
Because they don't have access to health care.
Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. The most asinine thing ever said by a politician. And they've said some really asinine things. That has to be the height of stupidity. Well, today, Congressman Labrador made an announcement. Did you hear?
I sure did.
Yeah, I thought when I saw the headline, I thought, ah, he's not going to run for re-election. Well, he's not. He's running for governor.
Yes. Kind of bad timing, don't you think?
Now, Idaho, come on. I know you're Idaho. And, you know, the people living there have so much space because there are not many people in Idaho that you feel like you have your own private Idaho. But really, the guy who says nobody ever died because they didn't have access to health care. Really? That's
that was the stupidest, the utterly stupidest.
You know what that was?
Meanwhile.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. That was. Oh, my wrong didn't play. I thought I had Donald Trump's wrong here, but for some reason it's not playing. Never mind.
Oh, too bad. Well, then we have another one. We have Representative Rod Blum or Blum from Iowa.
Yes. Oh, I've got.
Do you have that?
Yes, I do. I can play it from here. Actually, I think I can even play the video because the video is awesome. So this
it
is in, where was this? This was Iowa, not as opposed to Idaho.
Yeah.
So
Iowa
and,
it was a local
and
TV
Idaho.
Interview.
Yeah. So, but this is funny because they tell the whole story here. Here, let me just play it.
Now, earlier in the day, late afternoon, TV9 sat down with Congressman Blum for a one-on-one interview.
Oh, no, you're not going to hear
it. That was after weeks of correspondence with his staff over the phone and through email to set an interview up. This is the email in which he and his staff had agreed to an interview at the Dream Center in Dubuque with TV9. But the congressman walked out of that interview with TV9's chief investigative reporter, Josh Sheinblum. The children you'll see in the background, Representative Blum insisted be there. This is the entire exchange.
Here we go. All right, now he's sitting down with him.
Congressman, I'm sure you know the drill. So today, you're having your first town hall meeting since January. What are you expecting?
Well, a discussion of the issues, just like typical. I'm not expecting, anything one way or the other. We've held tele-town hall meetings extensively over the last 2 years, where we'll have 6,000 people on the line. And so today we'll reach 600 people. Tele-town halls would reach 6,000 people. So it'd be a typical town hall. It'd be lots of questions and lots of answers.
So one thing that's a little less typical is you want to see IDs for this. Can I ask why that decision was made?
Because we want people from the first district to be at our town halls. We don't want people from outside of the first district. We don't need people from Chicago there or Des Moines there. Or,
all right, so
or
he's answering
there.
These questions. Why are you checking
them.
IDs at
they
this town hall
talk
meeting?
To their representatives at their town hall meetings. I don't know why they would want to be at one of my town hall meetings to start with.
Well, I think some would make the case that you represent all Iowans. The decisions that you make impact all Iowans. So shouldn't all Iowans have a voice at the table or at least have the option to?
And now he's laughing at the questioner.
I don't represent all Iowans. I represent the first district of Iowa. That'd be like saying, shouldn't I be able to, even though I live in Dubuque, go vote in Iowa City?
No,
in
that's
the election
not really what he's saying.
I'd like to vote in that district instead.
Would you still take donations from a Republican in Iowa City?
So the reporter asked him, would you take donations from a Republican in Iowa City outside of your district? And the congressman gets up and walks out.
We just asked why you wanted to do the interview. That was it.
No, that wasn't what you just asked him.
Take a seat. Congressman, I insist. Let's talk about...
Wow. He says, wow, and he waves his hand. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So the reporter asks him, all right, so you're having a town hall meeting. The congressman says, yes. He said, and the reporter says, what, you're checking ID at the door? And he goes, yeah, I want to make sure they're all from my district. And then the reporter says, but would you, would you take money from someone outside of your district? And the congressman said, that's enough. I've had it. I'm out of here. Even though they set up this thing we're in a classroom where he's surrounded by kids.
He's surrounded by little kids and they're watching him act younger than they are.
Yeah. So
he tantrums out.
Congressman Rod Blum, who represents Iowa's first district, I guess that incorporates Dubuque. Dubuque,
what
Iowa.
A moron.
That's your
honestly.
Guy.
That's just like such bad optic. Forget it. Even if he was legitimately insulted and, you know, but all he has to do is act like an adult.
That's what he got pissed off about?
Yes.
Would you take money from someone outside of your district? I mean, I get the now the reporter, I got to say, wasn't great. And he even said, I was just trying to ask you why you wanted to do the interview. No, that's not what you asked him. You asked him, would you take money from outside of your district? Which, of course, they all do. But yeah, I mean, again, it's Iowa. I once got in trouble. I pissed off people during the primary season because I made fun of Iowa. Remember, I make fun of Florida every day. Every day.
I make fun of everything. Who cares?
Yeah, I know. Right. Some people
That's
can't
what
take
people
a joke.
Do.
Right.
Oh, poopy on them. What do they know?
By the way, there's a great Florida story. I didn't bring it up today. Hold on. I got to find it. I may invite Deborah Newell back on just because I'll see if I can find it. I didn't keep it here because I wasn't going to talk about it today. But anyway, what else is going on?
Okay, you want to do Tweet Spot? We can
do
a couple of those.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
Okey-doke.
So here we go.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
Take it away, Laffy.
Hello. Okay, so this is talking about this Flynn thing. Jesse Burney of Rolling Stone, he says, you don't get to spend 8 years painting Obama as a lying, terrorist-sympathizing criminal and then say you relied on him vetting your NSA. I mean, that's what he did. He blamed Obama because Obama gave Flynn a clearance, which, by the way, security clearance, which is different than what had to be done by Trump. Trump had to have him resubmit his forms and update, and he had to vet him because he was giving him a position.
There's also he didn't have the highest security clearance. There's one thing to get a security clearance, but when you're going to become the national security advisor, that takes on a whole new life of its own, and you need a whole new vetting process to go along with it. I guess nobody told them. Did they not read the White House owner's manual? There are certain things you have to do when you. I guess they didn't.
You know that he also never did get the clearance. Get the clearance.
No,
the highest clearance.
No,
after all that,
right?
Never got it.
They didn't do anything. They just what? They just took his former clearance, even after he was fired. I guess it was renewed, and it shouldn't have been. But that's just your standard security clearance for a general. It's a whole new level when you're talking about national security advisor. But nobody in this White House seemed to know that.
But remember, if you're a Trump loyalist, you get credence. It doesn't.
Right.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
If you were Sally Yates, then they'd run you through the gamut. But if you're Flynn, who was a loyalist, who went through the entire campaign with him and was a close advisor, then of course you're going to be believed. You just say, "Yeah, I filled it out." Oh, okay, you're in.
It's That's amazing.
All. You're done.
Amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, our buddy who cracks me up online all the time, LOLGOP, he's hilarious. He in big caps, which he doesn't do. This is, him being funny by doing it in caps. I trusted the guy who I didn't trust to vet his own birth certificate. Maybe Trump's best argument yet.
Yes. That's amazing.
Our buddy Empty Wheel had one.
Empty Wheel. Marcy Wheeler. Yes.
Marcy Wheeler. She said, so basically, Yates worked to ensure McGahn, who was the counsel.
House counsel, whose name I couldn't remember before.
Yeah, McGahn. So basically, Yates worked to ensure McGahn could review evidence implicating Flynn, and that day she got fired.
Yeah.
So what she's saying there is it wasn't about the Muslim ban. It was about Flynn. It was about
That she warned them that Flynn was, cavorting with, palling around with Russians instead of, right? And that's the whole thing that I did in What's News. She warned them that, look, he's palling around with Russians. He's doing shit he shouldn't be doing. You need to know that he's open to being blackmailed and, and I'm just telling you this so you can take the appropriate action. And instead of firing Flynn, they fire her.
Yeah, because she isn't a loyalist, because she apparently, rumor had it, that she liked Hillary. Yeah. So why believe anything she says anyway?
Yeah. And right. And that's the thing. And when he was asked, I guess he was asked at the press, at the lying session today, you know, where they got this and what he said, rumor.
Yeah, he did say rumors. That's exactly what he said. Because, you know, this they have so much credibility themselves that we trust whatever they tell us.
And you wonder why I cry a lot these days.
Right? I overtalked.
And you wonder why I cry a lot these days.
Oh, yeah. Well, join the club. I'm with you. Now, here's an interesting little side note.
Yeah.
Peter Hart, who is an anti-fracking activist, according to his bio, tweeted out this. The New York Times is planning a regular Trump isn't all that bad column. So isn't all bad. I'm sorry. Trump isn't all bad column. So send in those ideas. And then he does a screen grab. The president's flaws are well known to readers of many mainstream media outlets. Our purpose with this feature, which will appear regularly in Sunday Review, is to present things the president has said or done that are praiseworthy. Any suggestions? Tell us at saysomethingnice@newyorktimes.com.
God. Can you even? Yes. Well, I think people should say all the nice things about Trump. You know, he's got beautiful little hands. You know, if we flood it, look, we all crashed the FCC website again. Thank you, John Oliver. Thank you, John Oliver. Thank you, John Oliver. But people went to gofccyourself.com. Did you see it this weekend?
Oh, I filled it out. I did it.
I did, too. And
he
was
right. I've been tweeting it like crazy, too.
So John Oliver did a whole thing on net neutrality again, just like he did 3 years ago when I believe it was all of us weighing in on it that got the Obama administration to back off and do the right thing. And so, yeah, go FCCyourself.com if you haven't weighed in there with comment. Not that they're going to pay attention, but do it anyway.
Well, and what he did was, if you were to go to the FCC site and try to leave a comment, it's a multi-step process that is extremely complicated and hard to understand, and you wouldn't know what to do because he showed us on his show.
Right, you have to go through step after step and do this and search this, and so go
so
FCC
John Oliver
yourself.
Did was he created his own site where you're right there. You click on something, you're right where you need to leave your comment. You don't even have to go through any of that. It leads you directly to the proper page, and it's partly filled out for you. Something that we wouldn't know what to do is there's a little number, a little code that you wouldn't know.
Right.
And he fills in the code for you.
That's right. So you're there, and all you have to do is put your name and address and all that stuff. And then you can leave
And
your
I
comment.
Literally just wrote a one-sentence comment. I mean, I just took what he said, and I wrote it. And so, yes, do it, because if nothing else is going to bug the hell out of them.
Right.
So, you know, we want to do that. That's always fun to do.
I'm going
to...
Go ahead. Meanwhile.
Oh, I was going to say, we didn't really talk too much about this. I want to just read a Washington Post quote, just a short couple of sentences.
Go.
A much criticized visa program that allows foreigners to win fast-track immigration in return for investing $500,000 in U.S. properties was extended in a bill signed by President Trump just one day before his sister of senior White House advisor Jared Kushner pitched the program to Chinese investors. The program has offered wealthy foreigners a way around complicated U.S. immigration rules, allowing them to live in the United States and seek permanent residency in return for substantial investments. So all that heavy vetting, as I like to call it, what he called extreme vetting?
Extreme vetting,
all
yes.
that extreme vetting, poof, give him $500,000,
poof,
invest in a Kushner property, you're in.
Unreal. Unreal. Well, and apparently his sister was doing this in China, and that's why how it made it into the news. And yeah, she's offering people
visas. And they wouldn't let reporters in.
Yes. Oh, a reporter was kicked out because it was a reporter. Yeah.
Not only that, they confiscated their video and their cell phone pictures.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they were rude to them. They got a little bit physical. They were insulting. I was reading various reports, and then I watched some on TV. It was just horrible. And you're right. If it wasn't in China, you know, the American press is barred and kept quiet here. We get a lot of our foreign news from the foreign press because Trump, you know, pretty much limits what we can do in America.
Yeah. And he wants to do away with the First Amendment. Basically, he wants to, you know, fix those libel laws so that you can sue the media if they write something unkind about him.
Yeah, we don't want to ever say anything bad about gorgeous hunk, you know, fathead Trump with his big fat ass playing golf.
With his belly and his yellow thing on the top of his head.
His hamburger. You know, the rogue accounts, the rogue Twitter accounts are constantly saying how much he eats.
He eats burgers and drinks Cokes. Yes. And you know, the good news is he's going to keel over one of these days. But then we wind up with Mike Pence.
Yeah, that's the problem.
All right, I got to play this for you before we run out of time. All right, this is a Florida story, and the town is the next town over, and I'm going to play you the audio because if I just read the article, you're going to think it's fake news. This is from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, which is the actual Broward newspaper here, and I'm playing it from the other computer, so you should be able to hear this. Let's see if it works. Come on. Okay. And it doesn't want to play. So I'm going to have to read it to you. A man accused of killing his girlfriend in his bedroom is now saying it was an accident. Richard Henry Patterson says his girlfriend died when she accidentally choked to death while performing oral sex. To prove it, Patterson, 65, wants to show the jury his penis. He's seeking the judge's permission to do so. Patterson had always admitted that he choked his girlfriend, but he never said how. Patterson's attorney called the incident a variation on rough sex and said he seeks to prove that the victim died by accident while having consensual sex. Because, Dr. Ronald Wright, an expert witness and former Broward County medical examiner, will testify that her death is consistent with being accidentally sexually asphyxiated during oral sex, he wrote. It is material and relevant. The view by the jury is essential for them to fully understand Dr. Wright's testimony and the defense in this case. Apparently, his dick is so big that she choked to death.
Oh, my God.
And with that, we're out of time. Gotta laugh, everybody.
Good.
Fine.
Good. Wow. Oh, my God. What a weenie.
All right. Now, see, that was the last thing Progressive Voices heard. So they're gone now. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And it's in Margate.
I love it. That's
the last thing they heard. See, they get mad at me because I'm not good at hitting the thing is, it's a network, but it isn't. It is, but it isn't. And there's no clock. If I had an actual clock that said this is when they're gone, I can hit it and be out because I'm a pro. But I don't. And it's somewhere in like a 5 or 10 second window. It could be anywhere in there. And so it's sloppy. And then I run late and, you know, that happens, but shit happens.
But that's so priceless. That's the last thing they heard. All of a sudden it's literally cut off.
Sorry.
Oh,
and with
God.
That. All right.
It's like the sing me a schlong. Oh, God.
All right. At least we leave them laughing. On that note, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow. We'll do something. I'll be here. Gotta laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at laffiesplace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you.
I'll leave you with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report. See you tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
It's Tuesday, May 9, 2017.
Please come to France. We want people working on climate change.
France votes for climate action in presidential election.
This is by far the worst we've seen on this fire.
Wildfires force evacuations in Florida and Georgia.
Really an ongoing process here with all this flooding that's going on.
Extreme storms and flooding kill 13 in the Midwest. Time is running out to speak up for EPA regulations you'd like to keep. Plus,
if 97% of all dentists told you a tooth couldn't be saved, you'd pull that tooth.
Conservative group trolls Trump on climate change denial.
All of that trolling and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
This is a message for American researchers, entrepreneurs, enginers working on climate change.
What did he say?
I think he said enginers. I think
enginers?
I think he means engineers.
Oh, vaginas. You think that's funny, don't you?
Do.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Hey, Desi Doyen, I think you're leading again today with the effects of climate change that we are seeing in this country. Well, in the Midwest and down to the Southeast and just about everywhere else right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Floodwaters are beginning to recede across six Midwestern states after a slow-moving storm system dumped record and near-record amounts of rain from Illinois to Arkansas, triggering deadly flash floods that killed six people in Missouri and seven in Arkansas over the weekend. That's in addition to 20 people who were killed the weekend before in floods that breached seven levees on the Mississippi River. On Saturday, nearly 10 million people were under flood warnings, with more storms forecast on the way.
Gosh, I wonder if nearly 30 people were killed by terrorists over the past 2 weeks in the U.S., if we would do anything about it.
It's the opposite problem in the bone-dry southeastern U.S. On Monday, schools were closed and residents forced to evacuate in advance of a massive wildfire in the Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge on the border between Florida and Georgia.
Where?
Okefenokee.
Okie-dokie.
Whipped up by hot, dry, windy conditions, hundreds of firefighters are battling the lightning-sparked wildfire. It's been burning for more than a month and has scorched more than 150 square miles.
Once again, if terrorists had forced the evacuation of hundreds or thousands, or burned thousands of acres, I wonder if we would do anything about it.
In politics, while President Trump decides whether the U.S. will remain in the historic Paris Climate Agreement, over in France, voters on Sunday made their choice by overwhelmingly electing Emmanuel Macron as the next president of France. Macron says implementing the Paris Agreement is a top priority for his administration. He's pledged to accelerate policies cutting France's carbon emissions and will double France's wind and solar energy capacity by 2022. During the campaign, Macron also made this pitch to embattled U.S. scientists.
Please come to France. You are welcome. It's your nation. We like innovation. We want innovative people. We want people working on climate change, energy, renewables, and new technologies.
Wow, that's kind of snarky, telling U.S. scientists and engineers to come to France. We believe in climate change?
Yep.
Well, I guess it worked.
Meanwhile, Trump's Environmental Protection Agency is moving quickly to prevent the public from accessing federal climate science. Just days after deleting climate change from its website, the EPA, late on Friday, deleted its educational climate change website for children. In response, the city of Chicago has launched a mirror climate change website, rebuilding the EPA's deleted data.
And that was data that went back about 20 years, as I understand it. Just removed it. Teachers have been relying on that information, relying on those links. Now they're gone, but I guess they're in Chicago.
Yes. Trump's EPA also over the weekend dismissed half of the scientists on its key scientific advisory panel. The EPA declined to review the terms of nine scientists on the Board of Scientific Counselors, which makes recommendations underpinning the agency's policies. Administrator Scott Pruitt reportedly seeks to change the makeup of the board and may potentially replace those scientists with representatives from polluting industries.
Because, of course, he will.
The window is closing to tell the Trump administration which clean air and clean water regulations you'd like to keep. In response to an executive order from President Trump to scrap those regulations, the EPA has opened an official public comment period seeking your input on regulations that could be appropriate for repeal. Comments are being taken online at regulations.gov until Monday, May 15th. Finally, a conservative climate advocacy group is trolling Trump on his climate change denial. The Partnership for Responsible Growth has launched a new ad campaign to help educate Trump on the scientific consensus on climate change. It's airing just in Washington, D.C., during shows that Trump is known to watch.
And if 97% of all airline workers told you not to get on a plane, you wouldn't. So, when 97% of the world's climate science experts tell you our planet is warming and we're responsible, why would you ignore them?
You say that's being run by a conservative group?
That's what they call themselves.
Wow. Good for them. We'll see if it works. I'm sure it won't. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The more you ignore me, the closer I get. You're wasting